welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women about their work, their successes and challenges, and how they can change our mindsets about our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Britta Fernandez-Schmidt. Hello and welcome, Britta.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Hello.
Hello, lovely to see you. I love your name, actually. That's so elaborate, isn't it? So we'll come on to that. So Britta is an advocate of women's empowerment, women's rights and equality, leading influential women's networks, and runs Women for Women International as chief advisor with a 25-year career helping women survive and thrive in over 16 countries spanning three continents. Please be aware that some of the issues we discuss may be of a sensitive nature, so please talk to experts if you are affected. Wow, Britta Fernandez-Schmidt. I mean, fabulous. That combines your German and your exotic life, doesn't it? But you obviously have an incredibly kind heart, as you've made it your life's work to help find justice for women. And originally from Germany, you went to school in Venezuela. You are so well travelled, but you were struck by the poverty and inequality. Is that right? If you describe how you felt when you were a teenager out there.
Yeah, exactly. My parents are teachers, and they decided that they wanted to teach abroad in a German school. And my father was offered a placement in Caracas in Venezuela. And so I was 15 when we moved there. And you can imagine, I had never seen extreme poverty firsthand, obviously on the news, but not firsthand. And it really just shook me to my core and really woke what I call my fierce and this passion that I had to do something about this inequality, because I just could not fathom it. I didn't understand why they were on the one side, the country clubs and the, you know, the SVUs, and on the other side, people who are living basically in cardboard boxes. And I really, that just kind of propelled me to want to do something about it. And in particular, I then realized that this poverty disproportionately affects women, which of course now I have the statistics to, you know, underpin. But at the time, it was just a sense. There's something wrong.
And so young. I mean, you know, it. And isn't it 70% of women are the poorest in the world?
Exactly. 70% of the poorest in the world are women. And, you know, actually, Nikki, that has been the case for the last 20 years. So we know what we need to do if we want to address extreme poverty.
Definitely. Gosh, you were very moved, very young. And as you say, you know, you found it unjust even then. And you were first inspired to help women by listening to a talk when you did Latin American studies, didn't you? And it opened your eyes and your mind. So it really was like not a reawakening, but it was an awakening, wasn't it? What was that talk?
Yeah, it was, you know, because Nikki, the thing is, and I think this happens to many of us when we look back around the age of 14, 15, 16, we do have these instincts, really strong senses that we then go and quieten because we feel it doesn't fit in. You know, we mustn't be so loud. We mustn't be so passionate. We mustn't be, right? And so that's what I did. I kind of just kept it down until I got to university. And in my second year, I enrolled in a course on feminist literary criticism. And I've always loved literature. I've always been an avid reader. And this professor, she was just amazing, you know, and she opened my eyes and she made me realize that I was not normal, that I was not on my own, that there were many women right now and many women before me and obviously many women in the future who feel as outraged about the inequality as I did. And in fact, also men, obviously. And yes. So it was this reawakening, as you say, of my fears and this kind of realization, okay, right, actually, it's a good thing to have this passion. Definitely. It's a good thing to try and create change.
Wow, and you were ahead of your game, really, weren't you, in at that time? And as you say, it led to a degree in women's studies, which you did at university. And you've helped grow the Women for Women organisation to a charity that's helped, is it more than 500,000 women you have helped in 8 conflict-torn countries? I mean, that is incredible. How does that make you feel? I mean, you're looking after all of those women.
I mean, obviously, it's really important for me to say that I'm not doing this on my own. It takes, as we know, as we say, it takes a village, and there's a whole community of women and men who are making this work happen, and a whole community of supporters and people who believe in the work that the teams, who are all local in the countries where we operate, that the work that they are doing. So I obviously, it's my passion, Nikki. This is all I want. I want to help other women find their fierce and unfold their potential and change the world for them and for those around around them, and to be able to do that, whether that's here by coaching women or whether that is in the countries affected by conflict through the effective holistic one-year program that Women for Women International implements, you know, it just kind of fuels my fears to see that you can make a difference and to see the changes definitely. We can create.
Definitely. And I love that fierce. And we'll come on to talk about your book in a little bit. But in terms of you saying those training programs, the mission and ethos behind the relentless work you do with Women for Women is to help women, survivors of war, rebuild their lives. And you have these year-long holistic programs, as you say, in places like Bosnia, Congo, Kosovo, Rwanda, Sudan. I mean, a year long, what tools do you offer to help women for a year? Because an awful lot of them, is it 70% again, that can't read?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And in some places, much more. So for Women for Women International, it's really key that we go to the places where no one else is providing holistic support to women who are the most marginalized and socially excluded. So many times that means that women have never been to school, cannot read or write, you know, have never participated in, say, voting, and are not recipients of any social infrastructure, care or support. And those women are the ones that we are helping with this holistic program. And that's really important, Nikki, because what we do is we understand that women don't just need to be more confident, don't just need to be more healthy, don't just need access to new knowledge so that they can earn an income. It's interdependent. If I don't feel confident, I'm not going to go and try and learn something new. If I'm not well, I'm not going to be able to use the skills I might have learned, right? So we have a holistic program that has four key elements: wellness, self-confidence, so trust and voice, being able to speak out and have your voice heard. Income, obviously, a skill that you can earn money, and then community, a support network, because we know that women often in those circumstances, they have experienced violence and they are isolated, and that sense of isolation obviously leads to greater sense of deflation, not believing that they can make a difference. Whereas when we bring them together in classes of 25, there's this immediate sense, I'm not alone. And so this is incredibly important to our program.
Gosh, it's a huge gift, isn't it? So rewarding what you do. You know, I take my hat off to you, because those four pillars, as you say, they have to be integral and work together, as you say, to give all women a purpose and a future. And the way you structure it, I think is brilliant. That equality, prosperity. And I loved a story I saw online about you teaching them to grow avocados that made such a huge difference to a local mother in her community. And it just made me want to get involved. When I've got an empty nest, I'll come and help you.
It's just incredible, Nikki. And I think we know this, you know, we are not that different. We know that when we learn something new, when we realize that there's someone who cares, there's someone who believes that you can learn a new skill, that you can make a difference. It's like watering a flower. Yeah. It makes you grow. And then obviously in turn, what I see every day is that the women in our program with the new skills, with the newfound confidence, the newfound community, they in turn then help others. You know, whether that is that they refer other women to our program, or whether that is that they set up maybe a cooperative or an association and they invite other women in and they share their knowledge. In fact, we know that for every woman we train, she will pass on her knowledge to five others.
Really? So it's that word of mouth. And I'm not surprised, because she believes it in her heart and they can see it. Oh, isn't that fabulous? I love what you do. So you offer friendship, support, and that innovative sistership and training program to help them overcome unspeakable. And we won't go into the depths of the harrowing personal trauma on this podcast, but what they have been through is just heart-wrenching. And but the economic empowerment and long-term development and everything you do for health and education is just incredible. I mean, these women must have felt invisible and afraid for a very long time.
I think that is one of the biggest impacts that I think our program has, is that in actual fact, what we do, Nikki, is we say to the women, I see you. Yeah. You know, and this focus on invisibility and not being heard, you know what that does to us? You start to believe that you don't matter. Yeah. And isn't that really what would kill all of us, if we really believe that we don't matter? And so the mere act of saying, I see you, you matter. You're my sister. And this is why we call, you know, you can sign up to sponsor a sister, one woman, to go through the year-long program. Mm-hmm. And we call them sisters. And it really is not because we can't have men doing it. Absolutely we can. But because we want to show that they are our sister. Yeah. That, you know, we are not as different as we think. And that through this act of saying, I see you, that's the biggest impact you can ever have. And that's very beautiful.
Very beautiful and very touching, even hearing it. And our listeners will feel and hear that in you. You know, you really raise the voices of women and shine a light on some harrowing and unspeakable issues. I watched your TED talk and I take my hat off to you again for having a TED talk and so beautifully done with your fabulous everything that you wear as well is rather spectacular. And I watched it in shock and awe and tears of sadness at some of these women's stories. I mean, very powerful. But I liked how you said we must be kind with our own self-talk and train our mind like a muscle, because you read a book that inspired you on that front, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think what I realized, Nikki, is I am passionate to help other women, but I can only do that if I look after myself. And I used to, for a long time, just run myself into the ground, you know, just drive myself and do everything I could, and to the point where I would get ill every Christmas. And, you know, and I just realized after a while that I could not do that, that if I really wanted to keep that light burning and I wanted to continue to support all the women that I want to support, I need to start with myself. And the self-care is not just about your physical body. It's so much about our mind, as we know, particularly right now, right? We are all in extraordinary circumstances where we are struggling. And so one of the things that I talk about all the time now is stop for a moment and listen to the voice in your head. How are you talking to yourself? And this was a book that I read called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And he, in one of the agreements, is be impeccable with your word. And you know, when I read that, I just thought to myself,
that's a lovely
one. I was not being impeccable with my word in my head. I mean, I was giving myself such a hard time. I was constantly scolding myself, saying horrible things I would never say to my best friend. You know, and I just thought to myself, you know what? That cannot go on.
Oh, yes. I saw something online today, actually, that said exactly that. It said, stop mean-girling yourself. And I thought, that was such a great expression, isn't it? I thought, I'm going to have to repeat that, because we do, don't we? And I think particularly when you are isolated and alone at the moment, is you can hear yourself, because you don't have many other people to hang out with. You can hear yourself quite loudly in terms of thinking, did I just say that to myself? So,
and I love that, Nikki. This is, and we should stop and we should actually speak it out. Did you just say that to yourself?
Exactly.
That's not okay.
And it does manifest, doesn't it? You say bad things to yourself. And so you can see the positivity and you can see that you've got so much love to give, that you have overgiven to all these women and you did wear yourself out. But luckily you're feeling well and you're looking very well today. So you have the power to connect women. It's so humbling. This family business was started by the humanitarian founder Zainab Zalbi when she was only 23. And it was an incredible pivotal moment, wasn't it? How did you meet her, and how that program started, the Sister to Sister campaign, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just wonderful. Zainab is one of my big inspirations. And I actually read her book in 2008 that Zainab wrote about her life growing up in Iraq. And it ends at the age of 22, 23, when she sets up Women for Women International. And she describes the ethos behind it. And what she wanted to do was she wanted to reach out to women in Bosnia, because this was during the Bosnian conflict where women were being held in forced pregnancy camps. And she wanted to reach out to them to say to them, the world has not forgotten about you. And so she tells the story. And honestly, Nikki, it was like my heart was set on fire. It was one of those moments in your life where you just like, you stop and you're like, oh my goodness. I mean, up until that point, I'd been working with other women's organizations, helping women. But when I read what she said about this reaching out, this sisterhood, this saying, I see you, this connection, I was like, this is it. This is what I need to do. Yes. And I remember going on the website and I said, you know, my daughters were young at the time. And I'm like, okay, you know, where is Women for Women? Why have I not heard about this wonderful organization? And I hadn't, because they didn't exist in the UK. They were based in America. And then literally 2 years later, I get approached by a headhunter. They contact me and say, you know, Britta, there's this organization called Women for Women International. They're looking for a headhunter to set up the UK. Would you be interested? And I was like,
oh, how fabulous.
You know, and then the funny thing is, Nikki, then I thought to myself, well, I'm probably not going to be qualified, typical. I'm probably not going to get it, typical. But then I thought, you know what? I don't mind. I don't care if I can just get through the interview process to the point where I can meet Zainab, because I just want to meet Zainab, okay?
And that passion shone through. And that sister-to-sister program, as you mentioned, after the Bosnian War, she went back to America and she promised these women she'd find 30 women, 30 sisters, to give them hope and emotional support and financial aid as well, wasn't it? And she did, and it started. And I know she said, I've watched some of her interviews, it was her individual responsibility to act, and so young that she felt so moved. And our hearts go out to them, and we will be sensitive on this podcast. You have a letter that you've kept, don't you, from your first Bosnian sister? Do you have it anywhere near you where you are now?
So this was the first letter from my Bosnian sister, and her name is Amela. And she, one of the letters she wrote to me really became my talisman. And in that letter, she tells me about Bosnia and the snow and what she's learning in the program. And she thanks me for being her sister. But above all, she thanks me and she says, I want to thank you because I know that you know that I exist. You know, and that goes back, Nikki, to this point of I see you. And Amela found a way to describe that essence of what we try and do in such a beautiful way. And then she goes on to say that with the stipend money that all women receive every month throughout the year, she had used some of it to buy tulip bulbs and that she was going to plant them in her garden so that she would always remember me. At which point, of course, I was at my kitchen table. I was in floods of tears.
I'm surprised.
So it was, I know that you know that I exist. Isn't that beautiful? And then the tulips that she bought were obviously to remember you, but to give her a business and hope and to see that the beautiful seasons. How wonderful. And you have a vast number of incredible ambassadors who support your cause, including actresses Dame Helen Mirren and Gillian Anderson, and retail entrepreneurs such as Charlotte Tilbury and Nadia Swarovski. I mean, it's amazing that the ambassadors you've got, and you've got a whole number of them in addition to those.
Yeah, I'm so grateful and honestly humbled by the generosity of individuals and companies that you just mentioned. And there are many others, as you say. And you know, Nikki, for me, I really wanted to ensure that when I started 12 years ago, that I didn't spend a lot of money on marketing. And I wanted to honor this women to women connection, this personal connection. And I thought, you know, why not do the same in the UK in order to raise awareness? You know, why not talk to individual women and ask them, will you help me? And that's really how it's gone. I mean, I remember meeting Charlotte Tilbury. I was speaking at a dinner event and she was there. She was one of the guests and I was telling the story about Bosnia and the women there. And then afterwards she came up to me and she said, oh, darling, I love what you do. I want to help you. And, you know, and I thought, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then, you know, and then we spoke and she's helped. And then obviously a few years later, she's made this incredible £1 million pledge and commitment. And, you know, but it's not just about the money, Nikki, it's about the voice. Yes. And this is what they all do. You know, Gillian Anderson is just phenomenal. She has the most incredible fan base and she passionately will talk about the work that Women for Women International is doing. And that authenticity has always been at the heart of everything we've done. So there isn't anyone that is linked to us that doesn't feel it in their heart.
Yes. And you can see that, and you can definitely see that and hear that in you. I was listening to the Annie Lennox interview with your founder talking about changing the ancient wrongs of society and transformative change. And I think that's what a lot of women and men, you know, believe in. And I think it was brilliant that you mentioned earlier that men are helping rebuild some of these women's lives and with the training and, you know, are supportive of your cause.
Absolutely. I always say, this is not a women's issue. This is an issue for society. If 70% of the poorest are women, then we all must work together to address this. And men are crucial in this as allies, as supporters, as funders, as trainers, as colleagues, you know, absolutely. And And I'm really glad to say that we have a men's engagement program, and we have, you know, men who work for us, men who support us, men who champion us and you know, cheer us on. So yeah, super important.
Oh, brilliant. And that is amazing, you know, that they feel it just as much as everyone else, because as you say, it is an issue for everyone. And I was listening to the Annie Lennox interview as well with your founder, talking about her passion. And she's been an advocate for a long time and wanting to change the ancient wrongs of society, she calls them, and to give and bring about transformative change. So there's a lot of women who are passionate about helping with a similar fire to you, aren't there?
Yes, exactly. They are. And it's so beautiful to meet them, you know, and to connect with that spirit, with a spirit that we believe that we can create change. You know, and Nikki, this is like, say with your podcast, you were so kind. You reached out to me via LinkedIn and you said, you know, I love what you do and we need to get you on the podcast. And I was immediately, oh my God, wonderful. Because it's all about spreading the word, isn't it? And everybody can do something. This is just the key. And I think this is what Annie Lennox and you know, many of our activists and supporters believe, that we all matter, we all can do something.
And you know, reading your story and the YouTube videos and doing a lot of research on you, you know, it's very powerful and very moving what you do, and you can see your fire, and we're going to come on to that shortly. But we just want to talk about the serious side and the sensitive side of the violence against women around the world right now by intimate partners. And we had touched on that in terms of your work and what you deal with. But the statistics now say that 1 in 3 women are affected by domestic violence in their lifetime. But that's as high as 1 in 2 in conflict. And the pandemic has intensified this serious issue, which is truly shocking, isn't it? But you have an activism calendar to help. Is that right?
Yes. What we try and do is we try to raise awareness, obviously, of the situation, but never to the detriment of hope and the belief that we can change and that we can provide support and that we can make our voices count. And so it's important that we are aware that the pandemic across the world, actually, including the UK and other countries, has led to an increase in violence against women, and in particular, intimate partner violence, and that women need support. And they need safe spaces. And that is obviously the responsibility of governments. But what we as individuals can do is we can lend our voices. And so for International Women's Day this year, we're launching a campaign called #PowerToChange. And that really is the spirit that we all have, the power to contribute to the change that we need to see. You know, whether that is writing to your member of parliament to ask, you know, what is government doing to support women, to create more shelters, to reach out, whether that is to ask, you know, how much of the international aid commitment is actually reaching women and is directly earmarked to addressing violence against women, which is a killer. That is the fact, you know, if, as you say, 1 in 4, 1 in 3, in some cases, 1 in 2 women are affected by conflict and violence, then it's a humanitarian crisis, really, if you think about it.
It really is. And I know there is a bill going through Parliament in the UK, you know, at this present time, but it's one that needs addressing, and it's one that is being handled by yourself, which is incredible. And we just want to say, if anyone listening or affected by this program is in a difficult or vulnerable situation, please reach out in a safe way to a friend or an expert to get that help that you so rightly deserve. So in terms of the pandemic and the struggles that people have had financially, emotionally, or with difficulties personally, that trauma can make us relive old trauma. But there was something that I thought was good to reflect in this current climate, that I think a lady called Basma, who had a passion, she said some lovely things actually online. She said, take time to get to know yourself, which I thought we can all do right now, can't we? When we're spending so much time by ourselves and talking to ourselves and being mean to ourselves. What do you care about in the hustle of life, she said, and establish who you are. And I thought those were some really powerful messages, weren't they, for women and men to really reflect on. And you've got two daughters yourself, haven't you? Are they as passionate for your cause as you are?
Oh, they're very, very supportive, and they really, and I know they've traveled with me. They've come with me to visit the programs, and they've seen firsthand what it means to extend help and support and solidarity, and they're really passionate about that. But they also have their own passions, and I'm really glad about that, Nikki, because you know everybody needs to find their own way and find that fire within them and follow it, and so that's really beautiful to see. But yeah, Basma is a wonderful ambassador of ours, and she is very wise, and it absolutely is true. You know, find out what matters to you, and then what I always say is, and how you want to matter.
That's so lovely as well, isn't it? Oh, and we've come up to your new book that we want to talk about, which is very exciting. You've got a new book. You're teaching women how to be brave. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Fierce to Fierce. And really, I came up with this idea because I've always felt this fire within me. And I kind of call it fierce, not because I'm necessarily very loud or very aggressive, which I'm not, but because fierce is this idea that it's feral. It's not tainted by conditions, by societal norms. It's my essence. And what keeps me, what I've learned, what keeps me from following that fierceness is fear. And it's often fear that I don't belong, that I don't fit in, that I'm, you know, going against the norms, you know, that I won't be liked, that I'm not good enough, you know, all these fears that we all carry around with us and that actually limit us so crazily. And that when we stop and we search inside and we really ask ourselves, you know, what makes me happy? What do I want to do? What difference do I want to make? And we start to allow ourselves to follow that in the belief that if you do that, you can only create good. You know, it's not going to harm anyone. So why wouldn't you do it? That's really powerful. And so in order to do that, you need to really get to know your fear. You need to really understand what is that fear that is constantly keeping you from following your fierceness. And then when you get familiar with that fear, you know, you can look at it and you can say, oh, hello, there you are. You know what? Today, I'm going to put you on my shoulder and I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to do, even though I feel a little bit scared, I'm going to follow my fears. I'm going to believe that it's worth it. You know, I'm going to define my purpose. I'm going to act on my inspiration and I'm going to create the change I want to see.
I like that. And that's been a journey, hasn't it, over the last few years. And actually the timing is perfect, isn't it? Because as you say, you know, how we find our fears, particularly in the space of fear, the light and the darkness, you've made it your business to invest in others' hope. And we've all felt a bit afraid and struggled in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, particularly. The scale isn't even comparable to what some of the women that you have worked with have been through. But the message of strength and resilience to fight back and be a survivor and not a victim is a really powerful message, isn't it?
I think it is. Honestly, I think it is, Nikki. And I think every single one of us will face moments in our lives where we are extremely challenged and where we think we won't be able to survive, in inverted commas, where we literally think this is the worst and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And those moments, they define us. And when we look back, we realize that we did get through them, that we were strong enough, and that this fear that we're not strong enough is actually not founded. And so we can begin to trust that we're always stronger than we think. And that is absolutely also what the women that I've worked with have shown me. Yes. They have survived unspeakable atrocities to find hope within themselves and to change their lives and the lives of their communities. And so for me, they're in my heart, and they inspire me every day. And we are all right now facing difficulties, and they're all different because we are all different. But the reality that these moments are difficult is true. And I don't want to take away from that. And I think, but it's about leaning into it and saying, you know, this is hard and I'm stronger than I think. And I will get through this, and I will come out the other end, and I will have learned something, and I will rise up, and I will be able to share that strength with those around me.
Definitely. And you can see you get a lot of your strength from the strength of those women, and they have got their strength from your inspiration. So it's a real circle of love and hope, isn't it? And how brilliant in this pandemic, you know, for people to get strength from hearing your stories. So as this Influential Women podcast helps others face challenge and adversities, and obviously we've talked about those by hearing other stories that help them, and all of these unimaginable women's stories that we've inferred and not discussed in depth because of the sensitive nature. But you make a difference by carrying these women in your heart and your strength and power. And I hope you don't mind mentioning, but you have your own adversity stories, and you had touched on in some of the TED Talks, if you don't mind me saying, where you had felt bullied by women in your work and were scared you didn't speak up. And that in your childhood, you felt you were too tall and too much. Is that right? And how did you come back from both those, bless you? I'm so sorry to bring these up. How did you come back fighting with your fears?
Yeah, no, do you know what? I think it's so important to talk about these stories. And obviously some people are not ready yet, and that's completely fine. And I wasn't up until recently, and now I am, which is why I've written about it in my book. Because I think that when we are ready to share our story, it's a powerful present that we can give to show that A, no one is perfect, and no one has got it all worked out. Okay, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter all the accolades you have and all the job titles in the world. You're always going to face new challenges. It's just a reality. And so when I was being bullied, that was really, really hard. It's really hard when you're being bullied, because you cannot help but think that somehow it's your fault, that you've done something wrong, because you just, it is very hard for us to comprehend. Why would someone treat us badly, right? So you to somehow infer that, okay, that I have done something wrong. And to get to the point where you think, okay, you know what, it doesn't matter whatever I might have done wrong, that still does not justify this type of behavior. And for me, what really helped me, Nikki, is to think, you know, what I would want for my daughters. You know, if my daughters were in this position, I would want them to speak up. I would want them to say no. You know, and I would, and also the other thing I kept thinking is, you know, my colleagues, because your colleagues, you see it, you know, when someone is being bullied, you know, and if particularly, you know, if you then don't do something about that, that's not, you know, that will affect others. And obviously there's the likelihood that they might be bullying some other people as well. Yes. And you not speaking up is also not helping others. So that's what helped me to, you know, to literally grab myself just pull myself up and say, okay, Britta, you're going to have to overcome the fear of being difficult, of being labeled, you know, the whistleblower or whatever. And you're going to have to say something. And I did. And that was definitely an incredibly important moment in my life that made me realize that it's more important to speak up than to bow to the fear of not being liked. And this is all obviously came from when I was younger, feeling that I was too much, that I was too loud, too tall, too whatever. And that's kind of where I learned, you know, just be quiet, you know, just don't be so loud, don't be so passionate, just make yourself a bit smaller, just don't be difficult, you know. And so this was playing on my mind when I was being bullied. I'm like, oh no, you mustn't, just don't be difficult. And so I had to unlearn that conditioning and say, you know what, no, Britta, you have to trust yourself. You have to develop this deep trust within yourself, and you need to speak up.
Gosh, I'm so glad you did and have and are for so many other women now. And I think bullies are only bullies because they're afraid and it's their own issues. And the person hasn't done anything wrong. I can see that. It quite often it's about the other person. So it's speaking up and saying it's enough, you know, isn't it? As you say. And, you know, they undermined and, you know, made you scared of rocking the boat, which women can feel, particularly at work. And thank you for sharing your adversity. And I don't think you're too tall or too much or too loud or too difficult. I think you have turned that on its head. Actually, I think you stand tall to help these women. I think you give much rather than being too much. I think you speak loudly for others. And I think you face difficulty rather than being difficulty. And you make such a difference, bless you.
Oh my God, Nikki, I love that so much. That is really so kind.
Oh, well,
I think I might have to, or maybe you can send this to me. I just really want to hold on to that, because that is just a beautiful gift you've just given me.
Oh, bless you.
This is what it is, isn't it? It's like reframing the belief you hold about yourself into, yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, because I just thought, how can this, a woman who has spent 25 years helping women feel so undervalued in herself? Oh, bless you. Thank you. That's touched me too. Oh, there you are. All of our listeners will be. Thank you. Well, who has inspired you, Britta, in your life as an influential woman?
Nikki, I have like a whole boardroom in my heart, which I actually recommend to anyone listening to create a boardroom in your heart.
Yeah.
And put the women in there who move you so deeply and are there for you, and that you think about when you face fear or you're uncertain. And I have so many women in my boardroom, and I'm so deeply grateful to them. But the two women who inspire me every day are my daughters. And it's just incredible. And I've learned so much from them, and they feature heavily in my book because they are incredible human beings who have given me the ability to learn so much about myself and to always realize that there's more that I can learn about myself.
How old are they, your children?
And they are now 18 and 20.
Oh, yes, I think that's it's interesting because mine are teens as well, 16 and 18. And I think when they get to a certain age, they are your teachers, aren't they? And they do reflect back, you know, your good side and your bad side. And you just... You listen to them in a way you wouldn't listen to anyone else. You'd think it was an insult, but to them you just think, gosh, actually it's not an insult, it's an observation. And actually it teaches you about yourself, which is always a good thing. Oh, how lovely. They'll be pleased. Oh, well, hopefully they'll listen to you saying how wonderful they are. So hobbies, do you have time for anything else? I know you speak four languages, you're one mighty influential woman, but do you have time to do anything when you're not helping womankind around the world?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that I learned, that's so important to make time and, you know, to look after yourself and to find joy. And it's not all about productivity. And obviously, actually, you know, finding stillness. So I do yoga, I run and I meditate, and that they bring me joy, they bring me peace, they bring me focus. And they've also opened up the space of creativity, which has really led me to then write my book. And so I've been writing a book, and some people think that that's a chore. But for me, it wasn't a chore. It was something that I wanted to do. It was never on my list. No one expected it. It was just something I wanted to do. And it brought me so much joy. I miss it now. I really miss it. So I think I might have to write another one.
But please do.
Yeah. Oh, well, you must, especially in lockdown. Now, do you have a mantra for how you live your life?
Yes, I do. I have, it's actually, I've got it engraved in like a beautiful Monica Vinada bracelet that I have. And it says, shine bright, breathe, and let go. And for me, it's really about this shining bright reminds me that it does not serve us when we make ourselves smaller. It doesn't serve us. So shine bright. Allow yourself to shine. Breathe reminds me to be here right now, grounded, not stuck in the past or not in the future worrying about things I have no control over. Just breathe. And then let go is this, let go of the attachments that you have to expectations that others might have or to roles that you think you need to perfect. Just let go, trust. I guess it's about trusting. And then it's fierce to fierce.
Oh, I love that.
So breathe and focus and be right now. Shine bright. Brilliant. So a lot of people get strength from that. Now, I just want to share some of those lovely tips you gave. And I didn't, unfortunately, attend the workshop, but at Stylist Live, who do these wonderful events when we're allowed to do events. And some of your mantras, and by all means, add value to some of your wisdom here. You had five little tips where you said, have a tribe to break your isolation, gain the knowledge to ignite power, find the inspiration to inspire, which is your boardroom of women in your heart, and make an impact. And I thought that was beautiful as well, that, you know, really insightful vision for women again. Have you got anything to add to that? You probably think, gosh, did I say all that wisdom?
That's quite good. Yeah, I mean, my book is structured in three parts. The first one is all about finding meaning. And the second part is all about owning your power. And the third one is about making an impact, transforming the world around you. And I think this is, and they go all together. It's by finding meaning, by it, allowing yourself to be inspired and finding your purpose, you then realize that you need to own your power, because you are the person who's going to create the change you want to see. And that then creates the change you want to see.
I need that book. And it's out now, isn't it? It's out now. Wow. So what is next for you then? The next book is obviously what's up for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think once you start doing something you really enjoy, you know, why stop? And so I definitely have some ideas. I've also just launched my website, and I write weekly blogs now, and I coach a few women on the side, and I really love that. I love the direct connection and witnessing another woman's transformation directly, as well as obviously working with Women for Women International and seeing the transformations in the countries where we operate.
And you've got your Fierce Women Live, haven't you, where you're interviewing?
Yeah, I've got an Instagram Live series, which is going so well. And it's just so wonderful to connect, just like we are connecting now,
yes,
to connect
lovely.
With other women, you know, and to chat. And so I've just signed off my second series of that, which will be throughout February and March.
Well, you are one busy lady, goodness me. So is there anything else you want to say to encourage women and men? Because we actually have about a quarter of our listeners are men. I think they want to know why women are influential. And we want to encourage women and men to be brave. Is there anything else you'd mention on that?
Yeah, I think one of the most important changes one of the most important realizations that I've had that really has helped me so much is to realize that this voice in your head that is keeping you from following through on your dreams and your ambitions, that's not you. So if you realize that voice is not you, because if you hear it and you observe it, then it cannot be you, right? That was like groundbreaking for me. So I could say, okay, right, so that voice will always be there, at least in my experience. You can quieten it and it's going to be there. Okay, so let me make friends with it. Let me get to know it. And then let me focus on that, I guess, this awareness, the consciousness, that which hears the voice, that is what is going to decide what I'm going to do, not the voice in my head. So I think that's really what helped me enormously.
Gosh, it does. So actually have that conscious awareness that the things you're saying in your head aren't necessarily right. Oh, that's a brilliant way to end on. Lastly, what does International Women's Day mean for you?
International Women's Day is absolutely an opportunity to celebrate all that we have achieved when it comes to gender equality. It's also an opportunity to outline what still needs to be achieved. But above all, I think it's really important that we realize that the work that needs to be done on every day of the year. And I feel like potentially it's becoming a little bit defunct. I think there was a time when it had an enormous function because women's issues were not as high on the agenda as they are now. I'm in two minds about it. On the one hand, I know just how useful it has been. But now, obviously, you know, there's much, much, much more than we need to do every day of the year.
Definitely. And I think particularly the last few years, women's issues have been brought to the forefront. And that's an incredible thing from all the work that organisations such as yourself and incredible people like yourself have done. So thank you for that. And I just wanted to say, I saw that beautiful quote that you put on social media from the young poet Amanda Gorman at the American inauguration. And I loved that too, and also shared that. It was so insightful what she said. She said, there is always light if only we were brave enough to see it, if only we were brave enough to be it. Isn't that just so lovely? And we're both so touched by that. And it's been such a lovely, moving interview. Thank you so much. Thank you, Britta, for sharing your incredible life's work, how devoted you are to helping women have a better life, for teaching each and every one of them and us that we have the power to take our lives into our own hands, and the ripple effect to spread kindness and love and not fear, that can help others be inspired and change their own world. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I shall send you that. It was so lovely to talk to you.
Nikki, thank you so much. I mean, you have so carefully thought through this podcast, and your words are so carefully chosen. You know, it goes back to being impeccable with your word. I mean, very, very powerful, and I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you do. The Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host-presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman and audio produced by Saffron Mirza. Please subscribe for free on all podcasting platforms to hear our real-life stories out every other Tuesday.